Hello.
Hello?
Yes. I got the recording. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Well, hopefully this will work.
Okay.
Well, I got this so we could just kind of talk about you growing up and all that history so it won't be lost.
Uh-huh.
And you're talking earlier about delivering milk.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me more about that? Because you guys were in the Rock House in town.
Yeah. We had moved in from Fort Griffin, I'm not real sure, but it was back before I started school. So that was probably in about 38 or so.
Uh-huh.
And I have memories of that. And then we lived with grandmother and granddaddy for probably about 2 years or so. And whenever she was, huh?
In town, you lived with them?
Yeah, and because she was flat of her back for a year,
uh-huh.
So she had back problems, and that was the medical treatment for it. And so we moved in with them so Mother could take care of her. And it was an extremely difficult time for Mother. And with having three kids and a husband and in-laws to take care of. And that's when Grandmother was on an army cot.
Uh-huh.
It had a hole cut in it, and it had a slop jar under it, and that's how she relieved herself because she wasn't supposed to get out of bed. And that went on
wow.
for a year. So anyway, after that, that's whenever they bought the Little Rock House, and Daddy was running the Hilltop Grocery. They sold
uh-huh.
the Fort Griffin General Merchandise Store out at Fort Griffin, and they had the Hilltop Grocery. And they had bought the Little Rock House, and I thought it was fairly big back then, but come find out it's really small, and it had been two houses put together. And with Lynette and Barbara, they had the bedroom, and had to go through their bedroom to get to the bathroom. And Mother and Daddy and I slept on the back porch, which wasn't about 7 feet wide. And you could put two beds end to end in there, and it went all the way to the door. So that wasn't but about 12 feet by 7. And Mother and Daddy were back. They had the double bed, and I had a single bed. Well, I guess it's a three-quarter bed.
Uh-huh.
And we just had a screen with plastic on it, and that's all that kept the wind and the snow and the rain out. And when the wind would blow, that stuff would pop. And we thought we was doing just really great.
So you lived in the back porch?
Well, that's my bedroom was on the back porch with Mother and Daddy.
Wow.
And then there was just the kitchen and the living room, and they were probably no more than 12 by 12. And then there was the other bedroom that could have been a 12, but may not have been that much. And then the little bathroom was kind of a lean-to that had been built on the back there that had a bathtub and a lavatory and a commode. So we had the modern facilities. And out back, we had a place where we could keep chickens, and
uh-huh.
we also had milk cows. Sometimes we'd have two. Most time we just had one. And it was my job to milk in the morning and at night. And then after I milked at night, then Mother would strain the milk through probably was a sugar sack, just a cotton sack. She'd
uh-huh.
strain the milk and put it in the glass quart jars, and we had the little lids that she popped in there, and I had a little rack that would hold, I think, 6 quarts. And,
wow.
And I would take off over there and deliver the, normally it was three houses there that I delivered it to, and I'd set it on their back porch. And back during the war, there was lots of boogers around. The soldiers would come out from Camp Barkley in Abilene on payday, and they'd take them out to the liquor store at Fort Griffin, and they'd have a whole truckload of them going out there. And by the time they came back, they was already hooping and hollering. And so anyway, if you listen to the radio, the Inner Sanctum or the those programs, and if I didn't get the milk delivered before them, then it was all, Inner Sanctum was a scary one. So I'd be quick in delivering the milk.
So would somebody come and take the milk? Is that what you're saying, when the boogers came out?
Oh, no. I would have to take it down there, but there's a young kid. I was probably, 7 or 8 years old or something like that. And that's probably 7 or 8. And anyway, just in the dark.
Oh, okay.
Just in the dark, delivering the milk at night. And so it was always exciting. And did that all the way up until about till we moved back into, I think it was in 45 we moved back out there. So I got to milk and deliver and all that stuff. And I was milking one night, and a rattlesnake crawled between my legs.
Uh-huh.
And we wound up killed one. There was a hole under the concrete slab where we kept the feed, and the rats
uh-huh.
probably lived in there, but this snake found them.
Uh-huh.
And we wound up, we killed that one, and then a day or two later, we killed another one about the same size that was probably his mate.
Uh-huh.
And where we milked there was probably wasn't 8 feet wide, and then the chicken house was the other side, and it probably wasn't over 8 or 10 feet wide. And then we had a little place to keep the feed. Had a little door there, and it wasn't but about 2 feet wide, and you could put sacks of feed in there.
Huh.
And that takes... Go ahead.
Is this the rock house that your parents were living at the end of their days?
Yeah, it's the same one.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that is the same one. And we lived there up till about 95, and then mother kept that, and Lynette lived there, and we had Hispanics live there, and then she finally sold it. I don't know if she did, or I guess we kept that up until after she died. Yeah, I think so. But anyway, mother would go from there. If she had anything that bloomed after they had the hospital, she would be trucking right over there to take a vase and the flowers. And I've had many people report, says, "Buddy, your mother's going to get run over crossing the road up there, because they're coming into town sometime 40 or 50 miles an hour, and they pop out that hill, and there she'd be going across the road."
Yeah. Oh.
When she got older, one of the funny things that happened, she went over and checked herself into the hospital. And said she couldn't remember. And said her memory was bad, so she went over and checked herself into the hospital, and they kept her days and turned her loose. But anyway, because her memory was like a steel trap for her. She remembered all of her school kids. Back
really?
When, her teachers that she had back when she went to school. She knew all them and all of her classmates. And when they went back to about her 75, I think it was about the 60th or 70th reunion of her class.
Uh-huh.
There was one or two of her classmates still alive, but she remembered all of them.
That's amazing.
It is. That didn't get passed on to her last son.
Our grandson here. Her classmates from Trinity?
Uh-huh. And it was at Waxahachie when she went to Trinity.
And then it moved later to San Antonio?
Uh-huh.
Well, I better run.
Okay, well, blessings on you, and I trust this will work, and hopefully we can find a way it's cheaper. We love you guys, and blessings on you.
Well, love you, Papa, and I'll call you again, and we can go over some more stuff. Tonight's just kind of a test.
Okay. Sound. This is testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Test out. Then you go. Go. And it's over, that old, the, one of the blokes over there says, "Now, Frenchman, now that you blew in my ear, do you want to kiss me?" Oh, we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Good night, Papa.
Good night. And love you. And bye-bye.